Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. This podcast is for federal government attorneys navigating the complex intersection of acquisitions and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And back again. Missed you guys for so long. I'm Major Ed Callahan.
And together we are your co-hosts. On this episode of Far and Beyond, we're performing a postmortem on two significant GAO decisions released in late 2025. B-423826 and B-423827.
And for those loyal listeners out there, you'll remember these as previewed in episode 8 when we first started talking about AI and acquisitions.
Yes, so these are the cases that involve Ask Sage protests against GSA's OneGov modifications, which provided federal-wide access to OpenAI and Anthropic tools for just $1.
And the reason that we're going to talk about this one so quickly is because these didn't actually make it to the merits, did they?
No. Most of us know 4 CFR section 21.5A states that the GAO generally does not review protests of contract modifications because they are considered matters of contract administration. But as every good procurement attorney knows, there is a major exception to that rule.
And even though I'm not a very good procurement attorney, I am familiar with the material expansion of scope exception, right? So I'm wondering, Ellie, if you can help break that down for us.
Of course. So generally, GAO stays out of an agency's business once a contract is awarded. However, as noted in the decisions, an exception arises if a protester alleges that a contract modification changes the work from the scope of the original contract. The legal theory here, backed by cases like Chase Supply Incorporated and MCI Telecoms Corporation, is that if a modification is out of scope, that work should have been subject to a statutory competition requirement. This is exactly what Ask Sage tried to argue. So when GSA moved to dismiss the protests as contract administration, Ask Sage pivoted and urged GAO to construe their protests as a challenge that the $1 unlimited license was a material expansion of the scope of Carahsoft's federal supply schedule contract.
And I'm guessing, since the GAO still dismissed, that they didn't buy that argument. So if this modification were truly a out of scope, shouldn't GAO have actually followed through and looked at this?
They would have if the protester had standing. So this brings us to the second pillar of these decisions, the Team Wendy precedent. This is the standing hurdle that often trips up vendors. So under 4 CFR section 21.0A1, only an interested party can file a protest defined as an actual or prospective bidder whose direct economic interest would be affected by the award. In the case of Team Wendy LLC, the GAO established a firm rule. A prospective subcontractor or supplier lacks that direct interest and is therefore not an interested party to protest the terms of a solicitation or a modification.
But in this case, Ask Sage argued that they already were in the game, right? They pointed out that their own products were listed on the exact same Carahsoft FSS contract as OpenAI and Anthropic were. They claim this put them in the same competitive channel. Is that not enough to be named?
So no. The GAO was very clear in citing the Team Wendy precedent. The economic interests of a supplier or a subcontractor, even one on the same schedule, are not the type of direct economic interest that confers standing. Because Ask Sage was a subcontractor to Carahsoft and not the prime contractor for the FSS contract being modified, they were legally barred from invoking the out-of-scope exception.
All right, so let me try and get this straight. And as everybody can probably tell, I'm a little skeptical about this decision. But even if a modification is a massive out-of-scope expansion of a contract, a competitor can't challenge it at the GAO unless they have the standing of a prime contractor?
Essentially, yes. To challenge the scope of a modification, you must demonstrate your direct economic interest as an actual or prospective offeror for the underlying contract. Since Ask Sage was only a subcontractor supplier to the prime, Carahsoft, they didn't meet that criteria. It's a double-layered defense for the agency. First, you frame it as a contract administration to trigger the general rule against review. Then, even if the protester tries to use the material expansion as scope exception, you challenge their standing based on Team Wendy if they aren't the prime.
This does seem like, though, they're creating a very narrow window for the protesters to try and fit through.
it is a very narrow window. For government attorneys, these decisions reinforce that GAO's bid protest function is not a venue for subcontractors to air grievances about market competition or vendor lock-in, even when the price is as provocative as $1. Unless the prime contractor complains or a competitor with direct standing as a prospective prime files, the GAO will keep its hands off the steering wheel of contract administration.
That's interesting. So the OneGov deals for OpenAI and Anthropic are safe from these specific challenges. But Ellie, what about the military? Are they just using the same OneGov ChatGPT?
So no, as you've probably heard in the news lately, the Department of War is moving even faster. They just launched a platform called GenAI.mil. This is their AI-first hub for military personnel, civilians and contractors. The big news there is that Google Cloud's Gemini for Government is the first major tool integrated into it.
All right, so as you just mentioned, the OneGov and DOW's GenAI are two separate things. But when we're using DOW's GenAI, is this basically for the same purposes as federal agency employees using it, or is this something that we can incorporate into our military operational side of things?
Both. It's designed for everything from agentic workflows that handles mundane tasks to dominating the digital battlefield. They are very focused on technological superiority. Interestingly, it's already certified for controlled unclassified information, or CUI, and impact level 5, IL5, which is a high-level security standard for government data.
Well, even though I was skeptical, and I guess I continue to be skeptical about GAO's decision on this one, the good thing, the outcome here, is that it is allowing DOW to start moving at more rapid speeds, trying to keep up with the changes in technology and changes in procedures that we see out in Silicon Valley, which I know is a high priority for CSA and SecOmni.
They are. Whether it's GSA's $1 deals for the entire government, so whether you're in the executive, judicial, or legislative branch, or the DOW's GenAI.mil platform, the message is very clear right now. The U.S. government is determined to lead the global AI race. Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.
So we do love to hear from our listeners, and we love getting ideas for future episodes or things that you think we need to expand on when we do some of these. So please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. I will be around more frequently. I promise you I didn't just abandon you this whole time. We've had a great slew of guest speakers, but it's nice to be back in the seat. All of our information on this can be found in the show notes from today's episode.
The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.